Look in Jeremiah chapter 42. There's your text. Jeremiah chapter 42. Now, if you know your Bible, you know that Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. And it's the burden he had for Judah. He was sent to a backslidden people. They didn't want to hear from God. They didn't want to do God's will. It was Murphy's Law. It was three steps forward and two steps back. They didn't want anything to do with Jeremiah. So he was known as the weeping prophet. But here, look at Jeremiah 42, and we'll read these first six verses. Then all the captains of the forces and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people, from the least even unto the greatest, came near, and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, Let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant. For we are left a few, but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, The Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all things for the which the Lord God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. As I read this, now it appears here that there's a remnant that's come there in verse 2, where that parenthetical phrase, for we are left but a few of many. There's a few that have come to Jeremiah, and it appears that they're wanting Jeremiah to intercede for them, that they can find out what it is that the Lord would want them to do, and that they might follow up on that and do that. And in doing that, the end of verse 6 says that it may be well with us. That they at least understood if they did what the Lord wanted, it would be well with them. But in reality, this is I don't know how to explain it other than say it's a farce. They're not genuine in this thing. They had their minds made up before they ever came to the man of God. They knew what they were going to do before they ever came to Jeremiah. And that is that they knew that what they wanted to do was they wanted to go down into Egypt. Now, Jeremiah, all through the books, telling them, you need to submit yourselves and surrender to the Babylonians. I mean, that's the will of God. And they're saying, no, what we'll do is we'll go down into Egypt. And that's what they're thinking. Look at verse 21 in the chapter. It says, And now I have this day declared it to you, but ye have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for which the Lord has sent me unto you. In other words, it was false pretense that they came to Jeremiah. They weren't really wanting to hear from God. They already had their minds made up. They knew what they were going to do before they ever came to him. But here, there's a couple things in this that I'm trying to emphasize, and we'll get to the message. There in verse 6, where we read that it may be well with us, if we want it to be well with us, we'll find out what it is the Lord wants us to do, and then we'll be faithful to carry it out. Amen. But if we've already got our mind made up, then what happens is we find ourselves in Egypt. In verse 21, where it says, "But we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, but ye have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God." So what I'm establishing is this, that if we find out what God wants us to do and do our best to carry that out, then God will bless us. But if not, we'll find ourselves out of the will of God on our way down the path toward Egypt. Amen. In other words, there's no middle ground in this thing. You don't stagnate. You're either going one way or the other. Amen. You're either going with God or you're going away from God. You're either drawn closer to Him or you're headed further into Egypt. Amen. A type of the world. Okay. But having said that about these that came to Jeremiah, what I want to preach about is that this thought in the parentheses there in verse 2, "For we are left but a few of many." I want to preach on this thought, but praise God, there's still a few of us around. Amen. There's still a few of us around. Now, when we think about crowds, if crowds was all that was, the main thing, then we've missed it entirely, because the crowds are watching football or basketball or going to some rock show, or they can fill out amphitheaters and all that stuff. The crowds are in the feel-good religion, and there's a lot of that feel-good religion. I remember when I did try to pastor, that the question I would get from the community as we'd be out is, "Well, what do you have for us? What do you have for our children? What do you have for our teens?" And of course, I tried to tell them, we have preaching. That's what we have. Amen. We didn't have a whole lot. We had preaching. Amen. And in reality, that's what we've had. What we have here is we have preaching. Amen. We don't have smoke machines and fancy lighting we get preaching here at the church. Amen. But not everybody's interested in preaching. So my thought is that, thank God, there are still a few around. There's still some around. Amen. We may be a remnant. We may be few in number. But thank God, there's still a few folk around. Amen. Okay. Now, I've got four or five little thoughts here that I'll share with you. And we'll be done and go to the house. When I try to fill in here at the church, I'm always intimidated. I keep in the back of my mind what great preaching we get from the man of God. And so I'm already feeling out of place when I get here. Amen. But now, four or five little thoughts. When you think about this, there are left but a few of many. Thank God there's still some around that love preaching. Amen. They want to hear the preaching. They want to hear the Word of God. Right. Amen. We're not coming here for the sights and the scenery. We're coming here because we get fed the Word of God. Brother Joel Logan fed us the Word of God for, I was here 12 of those 22 years that he was here. And then when Pastor Brent Logan came, I remember when he came that his pledge to us, his promise to us was that he would try to preach to bring all of us closer to the Lord. Amen. And that's what he's doing in his preaching. We'd all have to say we have been benefited having been under the Word of God. But this is an unusual place. This place loves preaching. Amen. I think about the summer of the evangelists. Every one of the evangelists that were in were impressed with the number of folks that were out on Wednesday evening. Am I telling this right? Yes, sir. Amen. They all commented. Boy, the place was full on Wednesday night. Right. Yeah. Now, you may not observe what I'm saying. There's a lot of places that they've almost done away with Wednesday night because nobody comes. Right. Amen. They get loaded up enough Sunday morning that they don't need Sunday night and Wednesday night. Amen. But this place will have as many back on Sunday night. It'll be as full Sunday night almost as it is on Sunday morning. In fact, Sunday mornings here, we couldn't seat everybody. It'd be like the missions conference. But we have the children's ministries that takes some of, you know, opens up some seating. We really need that new building. We've been needing it for a long time. Amen. But why do we need it? Because folks here love preaching. Amen. I think about the missions conference. I don't know how many of you came up to me and asked, are you going to be here for the missions conference? In years past, I wasn't always able to come. It conflicted. In January, it conflicted with meeting that I used to have until COVID came. But Brother Brent Logan moved it into February, and it works fine in my schedule in February. Okay? But they were all excited. Everyone that asked me was excited about the missions conference. Amen? Now, part of that is the preaching. Amen? You think about Adam Thompson and Danny Farley. My. I mean, they've been coming here 5 years now. Of course, they were coming under Brother Joel, too. But they've been coming, and every time they have something fresh. And every time it's something that challenges our heart, and yet every night still the house is full. Amen. Hey, you got to love preaching to take Danny Farley. Now, I appreciate him greatly, but if he didn't cut some of those things with humor, all of us might walk out offended. Amen. But what is it? Hey, we love preaching. But I want preaching. I can't get enough preaching. Hey, it was preaching the reason I'm saved. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them which are lost. Amen. You've heard my testimony. I won't go into all of it. But When Barbara started realizing how good the Lord had been to us and was opening her heart to the Lord, God began to send witnesses in her path, and she ended up in this little country church about 20 miles from where we lived. I mean, it was out in the sticks. It was out in the country. If you think Ardmore's country, this place was country. Amen. And she started going. And she'd grab those tracts out of the rack, and she'd put them in my lunch for me to read while I was at work. And about the same time, a fellow got right with the Lord. And all that was leading up to that Sunday that I went. She said, I'm going Sunday, and I really want you to go. Well, if I was to be honest, I'd tell you, I didn't want to go. You know, I was so dumb. I told her, I said, all they want is my money. And I was working at the Ford Motor Company, living week to week. That's supposed to be funny, amen. Well, I went. That old man of God was friendly. The whole church was friendly. They all took interest in me and talked with me. And Barbara said, see, I told you, these folks are friendly. And boy, all that friend. Then they started the service. All that friendliness went out the door when he got in the pulpit. He wasn't there to entertain me. Boy, he nailed me on the cross, showed me I was a sinner, that I was going to hell if I didn't turn to. It was the preaching of the Word of God that worked on me that morning. Amen. I knew if I left that day the way I come in, that I'd die and go to hell. Amen. What was it? It was preaching. Amen. Amen. Well, but not only did preaching lead up to salvation, preaching's the reason that I made every change in my life that I made. Amen. I'd hear it preached from the Word of God. I'd be reading the Word, and then I'd hear it preached from there. And every change that I made was through the preaching of the Word of God. We are a product of the preaching we get here at Sweet Springs Baptist Church. Amen. And yet, you know, I mean, it's not always comfortable. The preaching's not always comfortable. Amen. I mean, I like the high times. I really do. You wouldn't know that, so I thought I'd tell you. But it's in uncomfortable times when the decisions are made. Amen. Amen. And you have to admire our pastor because he does that expositional preaching. It's verse by verse. If it's in the context, he nails it. Amen. But he nails it for our benefit. Barbara uses the expression life-changing. She'll tell Brother Logan, "Boy, that was a life-changing message, preacher. But I'm making changes in my life." What it come from? It came from preaching. But see, not everybody wants preaching. Most of the people want programs. They want to be entertained. But thank God there's still some that want preaching. Amen. Well, let me move on to the second thought. Not only some that still love preaching, but there's still some who will listen to the Holy Ghost. Amen. We could not have done what we did in missions last year unless folks had listened to the Holy Ghost. Am I right? Boy, it was exciting. The missions conference was exciting. And I asked the preacher myself, I said, you know, when are we having Navajo night? Monday night. He said, Monday night. Boy, everybody came Monday night with great expectation. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Why? Because where we had minded the Lord, God blessed in such a way that we were able to do what we did in the missions conference. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. If folks would not listen to the Holy Ghost, we could do nothing. True. Amen. When you start thinking about missions, especially, and even the building that we're trying to put up, and the things that we're trying to do, the van routes that we run, if we didn't listen to the Lord, we wouldn't be able to fill the vans, wouldn't be able to fill the building, wouldn't be able to build the new building, wouldn't be able to support missions. But there's folks that still listen to the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's also a rare thing in that folks here use the altar. They listen to the Holy Ghost and they use the altar. You say, what's so big? Well, come follow me some places. I go some places where I've been going 20 years and yet haven't seen some folks go to the altar yet. Amen. You know, that's what you needed, not me. But we have some folks that are sensitive. Listen to the Holy Ghost. Let Him. You wouldn't have bus workers. You wouldn't have Sunday school teachers. You wouldn't be able to put on a VBS program. You wouldn't even be faithful in the service if you didn't listen to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, there's a few of us around that want to hear preaching, a few that listen to the Holy Ghost. But then also, when you think about that remnant, left but a few of many, There's a remnant that want to come to church. And they want to come to worship. Amen. Now, I already said I like it when it's high. I like it when it gets really high. Amen. Brother Gibson and I talk about some of the places we've been, and I tell him about some of the meetings I'm in, and he says, I need to go with you. And I said, well, come on. But he's been in some of them kind too. Some of you have also. But, I mean, God moves big in the services. I think about the missions conference and how God was moving in the missions conference. When Sister Shannon and I forget their names, going to Spain, and Brother Nichols got up and sang. Boy, that had a touch on it. Yeah. Amen. I got a little bit excited. I was trying to encourage it more. In fact, I told him that night, I said, you need to sing that again. Amen. And or if you can't do the, you know, get a new one or sing that one again. And they said, no, we're not singing tomorrow night. That's what they thought. Boy, they were in for an awakening. Amen. I mean, God was on that singing. When that young man at the piano started out, boy, I had them goosebumps or God bumps, whatever you call them, going. I was back there, whoo-hoo! Yeah. Amen. Hey. I'm glad in a place where they love to worship. Amen. We could see a little more of it. Somebody said something about running the aisles. Y'all come some places with me. Nobody sits. they've got videos of me running the aisle. I won't tell you where, because you might want to look it up. Amen. But you have to shame that old flesh sometimes. Amen. You know, most of the time why we just sit, it's we don't want to embarrass our flesh. Amen. You know, somebody says, well, you know, I worship my way, you worship yours. That's fine. But I'm telling you, when God moves on things, there ought to be something moving in here. You can't put new wine in old bottles. It'll break the bottles. It'll show out sometime or another. Amen. Amen. What are you saying? It's easy here. There's a spirit here. And it's all because you folk love to worship the Lord. Amen. And that's why it's easy to preach. That's why God moves in the services. Amen. Like I said, I like to see a little. We've had testimony services. Amen. God moves on testimonies. Amen. Some of the best services I've been in is where God moved on testimonies. And I'm talking about it going for an hour or two, just testimonies. People getting right with God. I've seen folks get saved because of testimony services. Amen. Well, there's a few of us around that still love to worship. Amen. But then here, moving on, left but a few of many, there's still a few of us that will sacrifice in order to reach lost souls. Amen. You would think everybody would be interested in reaching the lost. Well, I hit a stump, as Brother would say from Texas. What are you saying? I'm saying, hey, without sacrifice on our part, folks wouldn't be reached. Amen. It takes sacrifice. And there's still a few that are willing to labor and do what's necessary to reach the lost at whatever cost. Now, we do it through our missions, but we also do it in our local outreach. The only reason we're not doing more local outreach right now is we don't have anywhere to place them. Nod your heads. Amen. We have folks that like to be involved in the sign ministry. We have folks that would get out and knock doors when we've had the campaigns. I know Ardmore's not a big metropolitan area. You could go through Ardmore area easily every couple of months. With wisdom, the pastor does it usually a couple times a year. But we can't even really do that now because we're limited in space. But we get that new building going, there'll be folks laboring. out in the area, trying to bring them in, amen, that they might be saved. It takes sacrifice on our part to labor to see folks saved. When you think about it, every one of us, I mean, we could rejoice forever in our salvation, but at the same time, there's people all around us that are dying, lost in sin, don't even know they're blind, don't even know they need a Savior. But we have an outreach here, both locally and corporately through our missions. So we have folks that will labor for souls. Amen. But then there's a last thought. And I say this when you think about a few of many. There's still a remnant that's looking for the Lord's return. Amen. We're living in the days when the Lord could come. I mean, that's real. That's reality. Amen. I mean, that's facts. The Lord could come. Amen. There's never been a day like today, how things are lining up. Now, we look at our nation, but our nation's not the key. The Middle East and Israel especially is the key. But with Russia raising her head and moving on to Ukraine, now, we could talk politics on that one way or another till we're blue in the face. But in reality is, Russia's going to make a move before, but you know, when the Lord's coming, Russia's going to make a move. China's that 200 million manned army out of the east. That's developing before our very eyes. I can remember when China had hordes of people, but they didn't have manufacturing. They didn't have a navy. They didn't have much economy. Amen? But we're seeing, I mean, China's becoming the world power. They're wanting to replace the United States, not just militarily, but economically. They want their currency to be the currency. It's still the dollar. Things are still based on the dollar right now. But we're in a fast-paced movement away from that dollar. We're seeing, I mean, just in 2 years, we've seen big changes in our nation in 2 years. We moan and complain and groan and everything. But in reality, there cannot be a strong United States when the Lord comes. We don't figure into end-time prophecy. You will not. I know folks try to go into Revelation and try to pull out different things and say, well, that's the United States right there. You're stretching the Word of God. Amen. Hey, somebody says, well, we're still a strong nation. We are, but you know, we could collapse just that quick. I mean, it could all go south just that quick. Amen. When have you heard so much talk about a nuclear war? Russia has enough war power to destroy all of the United States. China's building that way. I mean, we could be gone just like that. But even if there were no nuclear strikes, you remember Venezuela? Just a few short years ago, Venezuela was a thriving nation. Turned that quick. It could happen here. Things are being set up. It's winding down. The Lord's about to come. Amen. A lot of people, what they're looking at is their next raise on the paycheck or the newer automobile or a different house, either upsizing or downsizing. But you and I that are saved, what we're looking for is the Lord. Amen. He's coming. Everything will be all right. when Jesus steps out on a cloud. Amen. I preached on John there, them four last things in the Bible. John's attitude was, even so, come, Lord Jesus. But wouldn't that be something? Barbara and I are going to start out on the road. We'll be here next Sunday morning, but we'll be gone Sunday night, and then the next weekend we'll be gone. We'll be in Kentucky, then in Kansas in two different places. Then we'll be all around Amarillo, Texas, and the Panhandle, and a little bit in Oklahoma. And we'll be back May 2nd, I think we'll be back. Why are you bringing that out? I said, we may not get there. We may not get to next Sunday. Why? The Lord's coming. Amen. That ought to make anybody shout a little bit.
Amen.
Boy, you talk about shouting, we're going out with a shout. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4, we're going out with a shout. Amen. But hey, it could happen that quick. Amen. We're looking for the Lord to come. Now, what's the challenge in that? It's all the more reason to love the church, to love the preaching, to sacrifice for souls, to do what we can, because time's running out. You know, when we get on the other side, I think every one of us will wish we had done more, been involved more. Thing about it is, there'll be no opportunity to serve on the other side. All that's now. Won't be any offering plates passed on the other side. That's all done now. Amen. He's coming. Are you ready for Him? Are you ready to see Him? The Lord's coming. There's still a few around looking for the Lord's return. Brother Gibson, Father, we do thank You for the privilege. And Lord, I am proud to be a member here. And I do thank You for these folks. And Lord, this is an unusual bunch. And I pray You continue to bless them. A few, Lord, still a few, a remnant that still wants things from You. I pray You'd help Brother Gibson as he closes the service. And we'll praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.